Philippians chapter number 1. And while you're finding your place there, I want to encourage you to pray for a couple more individuals that I did not mention. And Brother Dan Wright, not able to be with us. He's been sick. I do think he's feeling some better. I contacted him and he's feeling some better, but just not well enough to be with us tonight. So if you would continue to pray for Brother Dan. And then Brother Richard North contacted me before church tonight and asked that we pray for Sister Maureen, his sister-in-law, that he had her at the emergency room and he was uncertain as to exactly what was going on with her, but he would update me when he got more information. So if you'd pray for those individuals, add them to the prayer list, we'd certainly appreciate that. All right, Philippians chapter number 1. We've been talking about the prison prayers of the Apostle Paul. Give everyone an opportunity to find it. Philippians chapter number 1. Before we stand and read the scripture, how many of you have it in your date book? April the 5th through the 9th. You've got that marked in your date book. All right, or in your, okay. All right, you have everything marked? That's top priority, right? Missions conference, missions revival. You be here each night. The Lord will reward you for that. And he may even privilege you by calling you to the mission field. You say, well, I'm too young. I don't know that that's a possibility. Well, I'm too old. Don't know that that's a possibility. I'm too scared. I'm too whatever, weak. God calls you, he'll equip you. Amen? And if God doesn't call you, he'll move on your heart to get behind those in whom he has called. And that's what this meeting's about. It's about making an impact around the world, making a difference. And I'm glad that we can do that. I'm glad that I can be a part in making a difference in people's lives around the world. It's exciting. And I don't know what you do when Brother David stands up here, or whomever he chooses, to read the letters, but I listen very intently. That's not the time that I look at notes or pass notes or think about other things. I listen to what Brother David or whomever standing behind me reading that letter, because I want to know how my investment's growing. We're investing. You know what the Bible said? Right here in this book of Philippians. God is putting fruit to our account. And so you pray for missionaries and you pray for people who are carrying the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world, and then you give, and then if God calls you, you go. You go. Don't ever think, well, God wouldn't call me. I've talked to several people, some of you sitting right here tonight. And I told you when you got saved, one day God may use you as a Sunday school teacher. And now you're teaching Sunday school, or you're working in the children's church ministry. And some of you may remember telling me, oh, that can't happen. With God, all things are possible, even with you and even with me. Amen? And so we never want to limit or underestimate what God can do in a life. And we just always want to be growing and going and glowing. It's a good thing to do. All right, I think everyone's found their place. You stand to your feet. We're going to read Philippians chapter number 1. We're going to read down through verse number 11. And we'll highlight verses 9, 10, and 11 because it is a prayer of the Apostle Paul. Now, again, I'm going to remind you that the Apostle Paul is in prison. These are some prison epistles, and so there's some prison praying going on. And I'm glad you can pray anywhere. So, well, you can't pray in school. Who said? You can pray anywhere. Amen. That's right. So, well, they took prayer out of school. That's an impossibility. It's an impossibility. You can pray anywhere. Right? Now, they may not be leading you in it. And in today's world, that's probably a good thing. So, don't ever believe, well, you know, they took prayer. You can't take prayer from someone. Prayer is personal. It's between you and God. You can talk to God anywhere, anytime. I'm glad, aren't you? So this is one of those prison prayers. Look what the Bible says. Philippians chapter 1, verse number 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, of all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. Now here's the prayer. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for the word of God. And I pray that you would give us some truths from this section of Scripture tonight that would help us not only in our prayer lives, but in our day-to-day living. Lord, I pray that you would not only speak to me, but you would speak through me the words that would be helpful unto your people. God, I pray that the name of Jesus would be honored and that the Word of God, which is quick and powerful, would do a work in our hearts this evening. We thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to be in your house tonight. And we ask that you would show yourself strong through the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. You may be seated. Well, when we began to look at this prayer, we reminded you, if you remember some time ago on Sunday mornings, we went through the book of Philippians. And if you recall, we said that this is the epistle of joy. Every Sunday morning we went through and we just went verse by verse and we just went all through the book of Philippians. And we said that the book of Philippians is an epistle of joy because the word joy, rejoice, glad is mentioned some 17 times in four short chapters. Now, I think that the reason that joy is something that Paul kept mentioning about these folks is because of what we're going to talk about a little bit tonight. These people loved people. You know, I found that when people have the love of God in their heart, they're full of joy. And when people are angry or bitter or when they're contentious, there's something missing in their life. There is no joy. There's no joy. So I want to challenge you to listen to what the Apostle Paul says here. Because it's very important that we learn what it is to love the way God loves. You say, can that happen? Well, sure it can happen. It can happen. Actually, it shows the maturity of the Christian. Did you know that there's some Christians that believe that the more hateful they are and the more mean-spirited they are and the more rude that they are and crude, that means they're real spiritual? That's not spiritual. That's unbiblical. The Bible says that you ought to love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, thy soul, thy mind, and thy strength, and that you're to love thy neighbor as thyself. He said, Jesus said that all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Isn't that something? What a statement. All the law and commandments, all the prophets and the laws hang on those two commandments right there, to love God and to love others. That's something. That's how important loving is. It's important. And so people who love, number one, God first and love others, I believe God fills our hearts with joy. But when people refuse to love, well, I believe that that's why there's an absence of much joy in many people's lives. I thought about this when I was thinking about this prayer of the Apostle Paul, this particular prayer here to the believers in Philippi. I thought about how that when Paul was writing to them and he was talking to them about the importance of love, and in our circles today, we see people, they can't even love their families. They can't even love people they attend church with on a regular basis. How are we going to fulfill when Jesus said you ought to love your enemies? Right? Do you know God said you're to love your enemies? I don't love my enemies. Yeah, I know. Some folks don't even love their family. That's why there's no joy. That's why there's no peace in their life. That's why their life is upside down, falling apart, coming unraveled. Because we haven't allowed God to love through us. Now, I'm glad God loves us. Amen. Listen, if you have not realized how much God loves you, the more I realize how much God loves me, the more it really convicts me to love others. It's convicting to me when I realize that in spite of who I am, God still loves me the way He does. That's convicting to me. It convicts me to love others in a greater capacity. And so I want to love my family. But I believe as I love God, God enables me to love others. That's why it's important. Did you know, I want to show you a scripture. If you would turn just for a moment in the book of Jude. Turn, if you would, to Jude. This verse of scripture is very powerful. The book of Jude. And that's one of the first things when Paul says, he said, I'm praying for you. Now most time when people tell you they're praying for you, you really wouldn't expect them to pray this first thing that we're going to look at tonight. And it'll be the only thing we get to, I'm sure. But I want to talk to you about the importance of loving people. All right? It's important to love people. And it's not just important to love them, but there's a way to love them. There's just things that we ought to love, and there's just ways that we ought to love, and there's discernment that we ought to love. There's knowledge, and we'll talk about that. But in the book of Jude, I want you to notice what Jude writes here in verse number 21. He said, keep yourself, Jude verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God. Isn't that something? Now, what is Jude saying? Keep yourselves in the love of God. Now, I could never get outside of the realm, so I want you to listen very carefully. Some people might read that and think, well, you know what? I can, as long as I'm doing what God wants me to do, God loves me. But if I am not doing what God wants me to do, then I've removed myself from the sphere of God's love, and now God doesn't love me. There's nowhere you can ever be in your life where God would not love you. Did you know the Bible says that God loved us even while we were yet sinners? Christ died for us. So that's not what Jude is writing. Jude is saying, I want you to live with a conscientious awareness of God's love for you. Keep yourselves in the memory. Keep yourselves in mind. Remind yourself. Learn the truth of God's Word. Get in God's Word and find out how much God loves you. It'll change your life. See, we're so conditioned. We're so programmed to in man's way of doing things that we think God loves the way we love. But God doesn't love the way we love. God's ways are higher than our ways. God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And God's love is deeper than our love. All right, see, God doesn't love conditionally. We have all these guidelines and all these barriers set up on how we're going to love people. That's not the way God loves. God's love is an unconditional love. And God wants to love others through us that same way. So when Jude wrote, in verse number 21 here, when he said, keep yourselves in the love of God, he's talking about a sphere of where you will be always in remembrance. Always remind yourself. Now, how do I do that? How do you do that? You say, preacher, I'd like to do that. Just read God's Word. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. You see, if you'll just read the Word of God, you read this book and over and over and over again, God is reminding mankind, I love you. I love you. I read something as we go back to the book of Philippians chapter 1. I read something a few weeks back that really, it's very simple, but it just really jumped out at me. And I don't even know who I was reading after, but this particular individual made this statement, said, the Bible is the only book that's ever been written where the author loves every one of its readers. And I thought, wow, that's powerful. You know? Most people who have penned books won't even know 80% of the people who read their writings. But the Bible, the author of the Bible loves every reader of its content. And so that statement, the Bible is the only book that's ever been written where the author, who is the Holy Ghost of God, loves every one of its readers. And I'm thankful that God loves me. I hope you know how much God loves you. It's really, really important. Because I believe this. I believe as we really know how much God loves us, it affects the way we live. You know? You go back to the Garden of Eden, and I've said this many times. When Adam, when he sinned, he thought God quit loving him. And that's why he ran from him. That's why when God called out to Adam, Adam said, hey, he said, I was afraid. You know, right? He said, I hid. We ran. We was afraid. But God, in essence, said, listen, there's consequences for your sin, but one of those consequences is not that I will quit loving you. I will still work with you, Adam. Now, there's going to be some consequences for the wrong you've done, but I will still work with you. Why? Because I love you. And I'm glad that God loves us with an everlasting love. Now, notice what Paul said here. He begins the prayer in verse number 9, but he makes a statement in verse number 8 that I think is very important. He said, for God is my record how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. That word is the seat of affection. He said, I love you so much. I love you that I long to see you. He had an affection for these people. When you read how the church of Philippi back in Acts chapter 16, when you read how it was started, you see that Paul did have an affection for these people. And so he begins to pray, and this is what he said. He said, in this I pray. And we remember last week we talked about this. We said this is the basics of prayer, right? In this I pray. It's basic. We pointed out a few words. The word I. It's personal. Prayer's personal, right? Now I thank God for group prayer. We have group prayer, corporate prayer. Thank God for it. But, you know, I love to just get along with God and pray, don't you? Amen. It can be a number of places. Maybe you pray as you ride down the road. Don't pray with your eyes closed. Amen. Maybe you pray while you're on the treadmill. I told you about my experience about praying for you on the treadmill, right? Amen. When I'm on the treadmill, I'm praying for you. About the first 5 minutes. Whatever time I'm on there after that, I'm praying for me. Amen. That's right. You don't have to be in the prayer room or in a special place. Now, listen, I believe everybody ought to have a little place where you can go, and that's just your place to meet God. But I'm glad God will hear our prayer anytime, anywhere, aren't you? I'm thankful for that. So Paul said this. He said, prayer's personal. Look at verse number 9. We're talking about the basics now. He said, and this I have that word underlined. And this I pray. I tell you, it means something to know people are praying for you. Paul wanted these people to know, I'm praying for you. You know the greatest way you can encourage me, and I have people do this quite often. Pastor, I'm praying for you. That's encouraging to me. It really is. It's one of the greatest encouragements that I receive as a pastor. You say, well, I'll slip a $100 bill in your hand. Well, you can do that too, but and I mean this. It's not going to encourage me like you telling me, if you really mean it, I'm praying for you. I'd rather have your prayer than your money. I really would. Now, you know that it encourages you when somebody, and you know they mean it, when they come to you and they tell you, I've been praying for you, brother. Or I've been praying for you, sister. Or I'm praying for your family. It just means something when you know that somebody is calling your name out, your family out in prayer, doesn't it? And so it's personal. He said, and this, look at verse 9, and this I pray. Then second of all, it's powerful. And this I pray. Prayer is powerful. Prayer has changed so many people's lives. Prayer has done so many things better that are outside the realm of the possible, and yet when we get God involved in prayer, it brings things that are impossible into the realm of the possible. Isn't that amazing? Prayer. Prayer. It's not only personal, it's powerful. But then I like this. Look in verse number 9 again. And this I pray. This is purposeful. It has a purpose. Paul said, I have a purpose for praying. I'm not just rattling on and he said, I've got some things that I've noticed, and this is where we're going to hone in and go from the basics of prayer to the specifics of prayer. All right? Now, I'm not saying that sometimes we can't be general in our prayer. So don't think, well, you know, we have to always be specific. No, I think there's a time to be that we can be general in our praying. And don't think that there's a time that Paul said, I'm praying for you. Don't think that there... Now, what's that called when you pray for others? What's the Bible call that type of prayer? Intercession, right? You look over and sometimes, don't do it tonight while I'm preaching, but in 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul said that there ought to be supplications. That's a specific type of prayer. There ought to be prayers. There ought to be intercession. There ought to be thanksgiving. There's different ways that God wants us to approach Him. We're to let our request, it's mentioned right here in this book, we're to let our request be made known. So, there's different ways. This is intercessory prayer. All right? Paul said, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you. I've got something on my heart that God's put on my heart that I'm going to pray for you about. Now, there's nothing wrong with praying for yourself. Right? I hope you pray for yourself. I hope that you do. There's nothing wrong with that. But you don't want to get so caught up in praying for you that you never pray for others. And Paul said, I'm praying for you. Now, what's Paul praying? Well, there's three specific things that he mentions. We're just going to look at one of them tonight. Verse 9 mentions one. Verse 10 mentions one. And verse 11. Let's look at them, and then we'll get into verse number 9, the first one, okay? He said, this is what I pray. He's praying for a church. He's praying for some believers. And this is what he's praying. Look at verse 9. And this I pray, and here it is, that your love may abound. And we're going to talk about that. Now, there's more to that request, and we'll get into it in just a moment. So here's what Paul's saying. He said, I'm praying about your love life. Right? I'm praying that your love will abound. You know why? If you're going to be a good Christian, if I'm going to be a good Christian, we're going to have to learn to love people. Because people get on your nerves. How many of you say amen with me right there? Amen. I knew I could get you to agree on that if you wouldn't agree on anything else. And we're going to have to learn to love people. All right? People we like, people we don't like. People who do as we do, and people who don't do as we do. People who live on same side of the tracks we live on, people who don't live on the same side of the track. You're just going to have to learn to love people. If we're going to make a difference in people's lives as Christians, listen, Jesus said in John 13, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. Right? So you've got to love people. If you're going to make a difference, listen, compassion, Jude, makes a difference. Now, doesn't it? It does. Compassion. You're not going to help many people in life if you don't love people. There's just not many people you're going to be able to influence and impact their life. You've got to learn to love people. All right? So he said, I'm praying for you. And he said, I'm praying about your love life. Now, obviously, these people love because they were full of joy. But even when you love people, you can have a little bit of a conflict. Right? Turn to chapter 4. Turn to chapter 4 of Philippians. Chapter 4, verse number 1. This is a good church. It had great unity. It did. But did you know you can have a great church like the church of Philippi, like the church right here at Fellowship in Madison? You can have a great church that loves God, loves one another, and still the old wicked one can stick his head up, his old ugly head, and get in between a couple of brethren and cause a little ruckus, right? Cause a little division. Just have to stamp it out. Right? Amen. Look what he said in chapter number 4. Look at it. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for, and joy, and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Now, what's Paul saying? He said, he keeps saying, my dearly beloved, my beloved. He said, I want you to know I love you, but I'm getting ready to tell you something that some of you are not going to like, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Amen. He said, I love you. Listen, Paul, in another place, in another book, said, Am I your enemy because I tell you the truth? And the answer to that is no. Your friend will tell you what no one else will tell you. And you remember that. Your friend will tell you the hard stuff. You say, well, he offended me. Well, listen, if he did it in love, just because you didn't like it, that shouldn't offend you. You should thank God for that individual. You should praise God that there's somebody who cares enough about you that will tell you what everyone else will talk to you behind your back about, but they'll come to you and tell you to your face in love. I thank God there's people who's done that for me in my life. I'm thankful. Now, Paul said in verse number 2, he said, I beseech Euodias and Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And he said, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women. Help them, which labor with me in the gospel. He said, there's a little division here. They need to be of the same mind. He said, there's got a little division crept in the church. And he said, I'm beseeching you that you get this thing worked out. Now, what's it going to take to work out problems? It's going to take a number of things, but I can tell you what's at the top. Love. You're going to have to love someone to help them. Going to have to love someone to work some problems out. Right? And so Paul, foreseeing this, he knew about these problems. He said, I'm praying for you. He said, you know what? You have great unity there in Philippi, and God's blessing you. Your church is full of joy. He said, I'm going to tell you, he said, you're giving. If you look at chapter 4, if you haven't turned from there, if you go over and look at verse number 15, we'll go back to verse 14. He said, notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. And he said, even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again into my necessity. He said, God's blessing you. You've got a good work going there. You're full of joy. People getting saved. You're giving to missions. You're helping God's man. He said, but that doesn't mean that you can't have some problems in the church. And if you're going to work some problems out in the church, you're going to have to love one another. You're going to have to work some things out. So let's go back now to chapter 1. He said, this is my prayer for you. The first thing he said that I'm going to pray with you about, he said, it's dealing with your Christian growth. Because if you stay mad at one another and have odds and hold grudges and offense, and all in your heart toward one another, you're not going to grow as a Christian. You're not going to grow as a Christian. I'm not going to grow that way. We're not going to grow. We have to learn what it is to work our differences out, brethren. And a church that does not learn to do that will never grow. Will never grow. And I'm not just speaking about numerically. It will not grow numerically. It will not grow. But that's not the main growth that I'm talking about. I'm talking about spiritually, to where you can grow and mature in the faith and be all that God wants you to be and reach God's purpose for your life, and that we collectively could reach God's purpose for this ministry right here. And the way that's going to do is for me to keep preaching to you, love one another. Love one another. Pray for one another. Amen. Consider one another. We're going to have to do it. You say, well, is there something going on in the church, preacher? Yeah, God's moving. That's going on. We don't want it to stop. But God, listen, God will take his hand off when people start trying to get bigger than God and say, I want this to be about me and my situation instead of God and his way. And so we go back to Philippians 1. He said, in this I pray, look at it now, that your love may abound. I like that. Now, there's a few things I want you to think with me right here, okay? Number one, he didn't say you didn't have love. He said, you have love. He didn't say, I'm praying that you would learn how to love. He said, you already know how to love. I just want you to learn how to love more. That your love, look at it now, may abound. Don't let love, you know, max out on you. Just keep growing in this thing called Christian love. Just allow the capacity of God's love in your heart to grow greater and greater. Love like God loves. Right? You know why? Because 1 John 4:8 says that God is love. And the more I know about God, the more I love him. And the more I love him, the more I know about him. And the more that I realize he loves me, the more he can teach me to love other people. And the more I remember how much God loves me, even when I'm unlovable, it'll help me to love people when they're not so lovable. You know, isn't it amazing how we as human beings can be sometimes? We like to judge everybody on every action. Brethren, let me help you out right here, okay? I will promise you, if you won't judge me on every action, I won't judge you on every action. It's about the best thing that you could remember how to live your life with a group of people that you're going to be around a lot, like a church family. See, you might come to church Sunday, and I don't know what you've been through. Now listen, I'm not giving anyone an excuse here to be rude and uncouth. You like that word? Rude and uncouth and cantankerous. I'm gonna pull out some big words tonight. There's never a reason to be that way. Never. See, I don't know what people's been through. I try, when I deal with people, I try to remember that one action in their life, that's not all I know about them. Now, if that's action, it's something that keeps, you know, it's the way they always are, then, you know, now we have to talk. Right? You're mean-spirited. You're rude, and we've got to talk about this. But if you're having a bad day, I'm not going to try to take everything I know about you and then that one bad day and build something on that. I've got to deduce from that, my brother's having a bad day. I have bad days sometimes. You have bad days sometimes? Amen? You got a lot on you? Got a lot going through your mind? A lot weighing on your heart? And maybe you're not as kind as you would normally be, or maybe you're not as friendly as you'd normally be. Maybe, I don't know. And this is what Paul was saying. Look at it. He said, I'm praying that your love may abound, that it would grow. That word abound means actually overflow, right? That it would just spill out, that it would overflow, that it would abound. Look what he said. Yet more and more. Now what he said there in verse number 9? He said, I'm praying that your love may abound yet more and more. He said, well, I'm tired of loving that brother. I'm loving him and he's not loving me back. Well, you just keep loving him more. See, love conquers, brethren. Love covers a multitude of sin. You just keep loving people. You can love them to Jesus. You can love them back to Jesus. If we just keep loving people, I just believe that's the answer. I believe that's the answer. And Paul did too. And the Spirit of God said, I want you to write to them and tell them to keep loving. To keep loving. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more. How are you doing in that area? You love people? So, well, I love people who love me, preacher. That's easy. That's easy. Some people can't even do that, but that's easy. Isn't it? Come on, folks, isn't that easy? I already know this, preacher. You better listen. Who is God challenging you to love? God put somebody in your life that challenges your love, that challenges you. You don't think that life is so simple that you're supposed to love everybody that God puts in the pathway of your life, do you? I hope you don't believe that. God will put someone in your life, God will put someone in the pathway of my life that'll challenge if I really love my enemy. That'll challenge if I really love people the way God loves people. He'll put someone in the pathway of your life that way too. It'll test what we're preaching about tonight. And so he said, this I pray. He said, I'm praying for you. Kind of an unusual thing to pray about for someone, isn't it? I'm praying that you would learn what it is to love more than you love right now. I'm praying that for Fellowship Baptist Church. I sincerely am. God, I believe if we're going to reach more people, we're going to have to love more. I believe that with all of my heart. Going to have to love some dopers. I don't love dope addicts. You don't? You don't love dope addicts? Going to have to learn to love some people that's low character. All right? I don't like to be around people low character. Well, then you need to grow in your love. You're not going to have a big effect on people. See, if the only people you can love is straight, sober, lovable people, you're kind of shallow. You ought to be able to love some people that are down and outers. Addicts. Low character. I didn't say hang out with them, but you ought to love them. I've talked to the deacons about Fellowship Baptist Church having an addictions program. I had a man tell me years ago, and I was very candid with him. He said, well, if you start an addiction program here, he said, my family and I won't come. I said, well, we'd hate to see you go. There's already addicts that attend our church. You don't have to be addicted to a white powder substance or alcohol in a bottle to be an addict. So be careful. All right, so what's Paul saying? Let's move on. I'm about done. He's saying, I'm praying that you would grow in your love, that you'd learn how to love people that are not so lovable. You know, the way God loves you. Amen. And he said, I'm praying, in verse number 9, he said, that your love may abound yet more and more. In other words, don't ever quit growing in this area. When you look at the structure, and I don't want to get into sentence structure. I don't. But I will tell you this, it's so. It means without end. There's a continuous action here. That means that your love just keeps growing and growing. You don't cap out here. You just keep growing and growing and growing and growing in this area of your life. To where you could grow to where that people do things that just absolutely repulse you. And why you would find their sin, listen, you would find it repulsive, but you would love that sinner the way God loves them. He said, that's the way I want you to continue to grow in your love. I pray that God would help me and God would help you and God would help this ministry to love people that way. You talk about making a difference in people's lives. We'll close with this. He said, it's not just about a love. It's a specific way to love. Notice what he said. In knowledge. Isn't that something? He said, I'm praying that your love would abound more and more in knowledge. Now what's he saying? And spiritual knowledge. The more you find out about God and the way God does things, the more that your love will grow toward other people. You know why? When you read this book, it is obvious that God loves all kinds of people. It is just obvious. God loves all kinds of people. He does. It's just amazing. I think about Ruth, that old Moabitess, living down there in Moab, God's washpot. God, in His amazing grace, brought her back and sent her to the field, and she met Boaz, and she became a part of the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's love. That's love. So he said, I pray that you would love. But he said, there ought to be a knowledge in your love. In other words, there ought to be some spiritual understanding. You ought to love what God loves. I want to find out what God loves, and I want to love that. How about you? I'm not talking, listen, don't misunderstand the love I'm talking to you about tonight. I'm not talking about this warm, gushy, mushy, worldly love. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the love of God that doesn't see color, that doesn't see status. Listen to me now. That doesn't see what the physical eye sees. It goes beyond and it looks to the need of the individual and what the prospect of that person could be with the touch of God on their life. God help me and God help you to look beyond what we see standing in front of us and look beyond that and see what God could do with that individual and what God could make them in His love. Well, if we could just get a hold of that. God changed your life, didn't He? God can change theirs too. He can. And so he said, I pray that you would love with that kind of knowledge. With that kind of knowledge, that spiritual knowledge. Find out more about God and how He loves and how He deals with people and the things that God loves. And love that way. Love that way. He said, I'm praying that you would love that way. And then he said, not only in knowledge, but in all judgment. That word means discernment. There ought to be a discernment to our love. Right? Yeah. Now what does that mean? That means that sometimes love is tough on people. You ever had to exercise tough love? If you've lived long enough, you've had to exercise tough love, or you've had someone to exercise it to you. Right? Love is not all, come here and let me give you a big old hug. That doesn't mean you love somebody. Love sometimes squares somebody up and tells them, thou art the man. You're in sin and you need to get it right. That's love. That's love. And so he said, you have to exercise discernment in the way you go about expressing your love. And that what he's saying, brethren? He said, I'm praying that God would help you to love and you would abound in it, yet more and more. And he said, in knowledge, spiritual truth, spiritual insight, that we would learn to love the way God loves. We would learn to love the things that God loves and how that God loves. And then he said, with discernment, that you would know when it's tough love, when it's tender love, right? When you encourage, when you challenge, when you rebuke, and when you exhort. You see, that's love. So don't misunderstand that. Well, the preacher said that we can't ever get angry or we won't be loving. Oh, I'm going to tell you right now, love can get angry. You think God ever gets angry? Does he, brethren? God is love. Love can be angry. So, I've got some other things that I will say, but I'll close right here for now. You ought to go home and read 1 Corinthians 13. We call that the love chapter. And when you read 1 Corinthians 13, you'll see a lot of things that love shouldn't do or that love is not, right? Love doth not behave itself unseemly. Love envieth not. It talks a lot about what love doesn't do. But then right there at the end, it said there's some things that love does do. You remember what love does do? It beareth all things. Right? It believeth all things. It hopeth all things. And it endureth all things. That's what love does do. You see, it beareth all things, which means because God is love, love will teach us that God will never put more on us than we can bear. It believeth all things. Everything that God says, even though it seems unbelievable, even though it seems it's not going to come to pass, I still believe it's going to because God said so. I love God that much. How about you? Yeah. Brethren, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that is born of God loveth God. Amen? Let me find out what, you can stand to your feet. 1 John 4:7. The Bible says that we ought to love one another. And the reason we ought to love one another is because God loves us. And we realize that God loves us when we're not so lovable, then it ought to help us to love others when they're not lovable. So I want to ask you tonight, do you need to be prayed for in this area? Do we? Do you need somebody to pray for you that you would love others?